Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was thinking as I walked into this studio how important it is for us not only to know the truth, but to apply the truth. As wonderful and worthwhile as it is to memorize and examine the Scripture, it's simply not enough. We have to take the knowledge we glean from the Word of God and apply it to every aspect of our daily life. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And this is precisely what Jesus Christ talked about when he was concluding his majestic Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And later on, he says that everyone who builds his house on a rock is the very one who not only hears, but does what I'm commanding him to do. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," said Jesus, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, James makes essentially the same point. He says, don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is kind of like a guy who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But in contrast, the man who looks intently into the perfect law, the law that gives freedom, and then continues to do what the law says, not forgetting what he has heard, but actually doing it, he'll be blessed by what he does. Paul essentially says the same thing. We oftentimes quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but Paul goes on and says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do." So wisdom, the application of knowledge, don't just hear, but take what you hear and put it into practice. We're trying to teach people discernment skills so they're always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. With a lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Joe, he's listening in Oklahoma City. Hi, Joe.
My question is, I've been visiting with a socialist, and the story of Sapphira and Ananias and the whole surrounding of that as biblical example of communism / socialism. The thing I was wanting to find out is, I've been told, and I couldn't find it in the scripture, I maybe looked, but basically that they went on an economic standpoint. They basically became destitute, and the other churches had to support them, but with provision. Is that biblical, or is that somebody got that extra biblical.
Well, I think what you have to realize is they're probably pointing to Acts chapter 4, where everything is in common among the believers. And I think what you have to recognize is that this is not a prescription for socialism. It is a narrative, not a didactic teaching in Scripture. So I don't think it's normative for all people in all circumstances. But even beyond that, modern communism or even socialism is based on a theory of class warfare in which the workers revolt against the capitalists and the government forcibly takes control of private property. But there's none of this class warfare stuff in the early church in Jerusalem, and nor is private property treated as immoral. The Christians are selling their possessions, and they are in a free and spontaneous fashion sharing what they have with other believers. And the communal life of the early church in Jerusalem is never, as I said, made the norm for all Christians everywhere at all times. So the Bible is not teaching socialism. In fact, I would say that the overall theological deduction you can make from Scripture is what I call Christian capitalism, which is responsibility associated with wealth. It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have that God will ultimately call us to account for when we stand before Him in judgment.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess I didn't make my question clear. Is what I was I've been told either from the pulpit or listening on the radio, can't remember which, that they actually ran out of funds, and the other churches had to send, when Paul collected money and different things, sent money to the Jerusalem church to support the Jerusalem church because they ran out of funds.
This is true. When you look at what happened with the churches, no doubt used money to help those who were in need within the churches. That is absolutely true, and I've written about that in various places, including, I believe, an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Caesar, listening in Houston, California. Hi, Caesar.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
I had a question about King David's ministry. We know that he was king, and I was also told that he was a prophet. How much truth is there in that?
Well, there's a lot of truth in that David typologically looked forward to Messiah. So within the writings of David, you have a direct line towards one who would forever sit upon the throne of David. But this is what you find throughout the Old Testament. You have throughout the Old Testament types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ, as well as direct prophecies about a Messiah that would come. And when Jesus Christ comes, He is the only one who can walk through the doorway of the Psalms and the prophets. So David prophesied the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as did Isaiah, as did many of the prophets. In fact, the exact details with respect to the ministry of Jesus Christ were prophesied. His ancestry, His birthplace, the fact that He would be crucified with criminals, and this was before crucifixion was invented by the Persians and popularized by the Romans. The date of His visitation was given within narrow historical time parameters. It was prophesied that He would be an extraordinary worker of miracles. It was also prophesied that it would be too small for Him to be a parochial Jewish Messiah. He would be one through whom the light would go to the Gentiles so that the gospel could reach the far reaches of the world. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and that's why in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your question. Do remember, you can download the CRI app. And on that app, You can listen to archived broadcasts, live broadcasts, read articles from the Christian Research Journal, donate, much more. Just go to equip.org/app to download the CRI app. And also, while you're at the website, you might want to take a look at subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. If you've not done so already, a brand new edition of the journal out and ready for consumption. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or just write me. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, don't forget them. They're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We need people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Truth matters. Life matters more. Just like the menu matters, but the meal matters more. Be back with more answers, so please don't touch that dial.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported entirely by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. A generous response from ministry partners like you in these final hours of 2019 will help the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast to end the year on a solid footing and be prepared to seize the many life-changing and world-changing ministry opportunities that await us in 2020. Please partner with us at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org to give your tax-deductible gift today. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, engage with social media, or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the other outreaches of the Christian Research Institute exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now, at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will advance at full strength into 2020. To help us continue equipping you to stand strong, call now before the year ends, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Thank you.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Is Christianity good for the world? Do followers of Jesus Christ promote human rights, alleviate suffering, and enable humanity to flourish? In his book, Jesus Skeptic, award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson offers compelling primary evidence for the credibility of the Christian faith and shows that Jesus and his followers have indeed changed the world for good in remarkable ways. Dickerson writes, "Whether I like Jesus' followers or not, Jesus bears studying, for his movement has been, by multiple measures, among the most powerful movements for social good in all of human history." Be sure to read Jesus Skeptic, a journalist explores the credibility and impact of Christianity. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a strategic gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Tyler, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, my question is on Mark chapter 2, where the paralyzed man is lowered into the house where Jesus is staying. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, I see your faith, your sins are forgiven. And so my question is, was the paralyzed man's condition due to his sin? Is that why Jesus forgave his sins before he healed him? That's my question.
Well, we don't know in a specific sense. What I can say for certain is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore the paralytic is in that condition. However, to be able to say that his paralysis was a function of sin, I think, is presumptuous on anyone's part. But the purpose of Christ coming into the world is to forgive sin and to free us from bondage. I mean, the world, as we know it today, groans in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, and we ourselves also. And by the way, forgiving sins is a greater power than physical healing. God alone can forgive sins, and Jesus here is pointing to the fact that he is indeed God in human flesh. And through that, they glorify God, the one who can not only heal all of our diseases, but also the one who can forgive us our sins, the one who bridges the chasm between the righteousness and holiness of God and our sinful condition. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lenny, listening in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Lenny.
Hello. How you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a question. This weekend, I ran across a film and I watched it called The Secret. And it had secrets to success, blah, 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 same old, same old. But it's like they kept hitting on three main things: ask, believe, and receive. And something about it just didn't ring Christian to me. And I was wondering if you've heard of that video, and I just wanted to know your thoughts on it, and I'll take your answer off here. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, very familiar with it. In fact, I wrote about it in the introduction to a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But of course, everyone wants to know the secret to health, the secret to wealth, the secret to successful relationships, the secret of making a fortune on Wall Street, the secret to maintaining perfect weight, a secret that I'm trying to figure out for myself. The list is endless. And what Rhonda Byrne does, she is the author or the principal person who collates the other authors, she informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life. And when she did, the world took notice. In fact, Oprah dubbed The Secret life transformational. She said that the thoughts, the feelings that you put into the world, whether they're good or bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you, so you have the life that you yourself have created. And Oprah went on to talk about how this is a theme that she's been talking about for years and years and years. She just never called it The Secret. So what is The Secret? According to Rhonda Byrne, it is the law of attraction. The law of attraction is the law of creation. And as you correctly say, she formulates it in those three simple steps. You ask, you believe, you receive. And she points to herself as the prime example of someone who has done all three. And I think it's in the video, actually. She says that she was able to transform herself from fat to thin. And the way she did it was she thought thin thoughts. And in the process, she didn't even look at fat people. If you see people who are overweight, she says you better not observe them. As a result, she says she maintains a perfect weight. She can eat whatever she wants. And the error for her is to think that food is responsible for weight gain. In fact, I'm turning to a passage here that's encapsulated. I actually quote this in my book, Christianity in Crisis. This is what she says. The most common thought that people hold, and I held it too, she says, is that food was responsible for my weight gain. That is a belief that does not serve you, and in my mind now is complete balderdash. Food is not responsible for putting on weight. It is your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually puts on weight. Remember, thoughts are primary cause of everything, and the rest is just effects from those thoughts. Think perfect thoughts, and the result will be perfect weight. Well, at first blush, that kind of rhetoric might seem just silly. But there's a clear and present danger in that kind of reasoning. Because just as her followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat themselves, so too they have to avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer. Or for that matter, poor people for fear of becoming poor. And when you think about what she's saying, you look at the logical extension of it, and you find one of the contributors to the secret saying that a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered attracted that horror to herself. That's what Joe Vitale said. In fact, he said it back when he was on Larry King, back in the Larry King days. He says, we are attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception. Bottom line, thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad. On the one hand, thin thoughts produce thin bodies. On the other, 6 million Jews brought the horrors of the Holocaust upon themselves. How? Through their thoughts. There are no exceptions. And this is a pernicious kind of a dogma. It's New Thought metaphysics, and unfortunately, the dogma is now being cleverly repackaged and proliferated in Christian circles. Again, wrote about it in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to our phone callers. Lori next in Kansas City. Hi.
Hi. How should a PE teacher or coach respond to transgenders in high school locker rooms?
Well, I think it's a very difficult circumstance. I think part of the circumstance comes from a culture that is in crisis. The moment you start giving in to the kinds of norms that we have given into, you end up having all kinds of attendant problems. And that's what we're going to be facing. Some are purely ridiculous. And we're, I think, as Christians, to remember a couple of things. First, that God has spoken. The Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. In fact, the New Testament derives its prescriptions against same-sex sexuality and other aberrations from the creation order of Genesis and the prohibitions of Leviticus. And Scripture contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation is sufficient to underscore God's condemnation of these kinds of perversions. We should also do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn perversion in an arbitrary, capricious fashion. It carefully defines the borders of human sexuality for a reason. It is that our joy might be complete. But having said all of that, I think many Christians are in need of an attitude adjustment. We don't want to establish a we-they siege mentality against the world. Pagans are going to exercise their job description. What else would they do? Why is the culture where it is?
Is it because pagans are exercising their job description? I would argue no. It is because Christians are failing to exercise their responsibility to be ambassadors, to be salt and light. And when the salt is removed from a culture, the culture becomes corrosive. Bottom line, however, we should never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of being politically correct. Our conscience has to be captive to the Word of God. To abandon the call that God has placed upon our collective lives as Christians is a very significant error. It's the mother of errors. What we're talking about here is natural law. And the moment you try to defy natural law, you end up cutting off the very limb on which you're sitting. We've done it, and now we're living with the consequences, and your question highlights that very fact. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. And so we're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In appreciation for your vital year-end gift, to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of Jesus Skeptic, A Journalist Explores the Credibility and Impact of Christianity. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, engage with social media, or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the other outreaches of the Christian Research Institute exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now, at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will advance at full strength into 2020. To help us continue equipping you to stand strong, call now before the year ends, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Thank you.